is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, joins me as my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute, who is in Ottawa to help us understand the story as it is reported, fog of war from the Middle East. At the same time, there's a war in Europe. So we have twinned wars, a split-screen war. We focus on the newest of these tragedies, which is what we do know, hundreds dead, the number keeps changing, and how it is being reported worldwide. Charles, I especially come to you because I'm reading the reports out of London. How is this story being told to Canada? And as of yet, are there reports of Canadian citizens caught in the firefight? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, yes, so far we're aware of two Canadians who have died and a number who have been injured. There's also, a lot of Canadians who would like to leave Israel. Apparently the Canadian embassy has been closed for the Canadian Thanksgiving. And when they ring the embassy, they get a message saying, we'll be back Tuesday. Call Ottawa if you need anything else. The prime minister was a bit slow to respond, but eventually came out with a very strong statement on behalf of Israel after the opposition parties had stated Canada should be unconditionally supportive of Israel in this matter. And the Israeli flag has been projected on the Peace Tower, which is at the center of the Canadian Parliament. So there's certainly, at least in terms of rhetoric, a strong Canadian support for Israel. The Prime Minister has been in touch with Mr. Netanyahu and expressed moral support. So, from that point of view, it's good. I think from the point of view of Canadian domestic politics, there's still a significant support for Hamas and Palestine inside Canada and among the left wing, and demonstrations are taking place supporting the Palestinian cause inside Canada. So, we do have issues there. But the larger question really is, will Canada stand with the United States and, for that matter, Saudi Arabia against an Iranian-backed terrorist activity in Israel? And, that remains to be seen how Canada and Europe will respond to this outrageous terrorist attack inside, a democracy and ally of the West.
Charles refers to Iran. We have a headline from the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. Iran helped plot attack on Israel over several weeks. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, goes the subhead, gave the final go-ahead last Monday in Beirut. That report is denied by Iranian sources. However, the report stands, and the Wall Street Journal stands by it. Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, how is China portraying this to the Chinese people?
Well, I, having looked at the news, there has been some distortion headlines that suggest that the matter was, in fact, initiated by Israel. They refused to acknowledge that there was, in fact, an unprovoked attack by Hamas, an outrageous terrorist attack. And in the Chinese press, it's referred to the new round of large-scale conflict between Palestine and Israel. So, you see this in the larger global context of China's alliance with Iran and Russia against, the potential for a more Western U.S.-oriented Middle East, if in fact there can be some bringing in of Saudi Arabia into support for the existing status quo in the Middle East, including Israel. And so China clearly knows where they stand, which is on the side of Iran, and refuses to understand the humanitarian and geopolitical disaster that is coming forth, because I think China hopes to derive benefit from it in the Middle East and indeed in the world.
Gordon, a detail about China. The latest report I had about China in the Middle East is that it was continuing to develop its resources for oil and natural gas, both with Riyadh and Tehran. As I recall, there was some mention of a 25 billion or 25-year program between Beijing and Tehran to develop resources. Is that all still in place, Gordon?
Yes, there was the announcement a couple years ago of a $400 billion 25-year strategic partnership between China and Iran. There have been announcements between China and Iran. Sometimes the Chinese don't actually step up with all the money that has been put forth in the newspapers. But nonetheless, it's clear that Beijing stands behind Tehran. They always have. And we have to assume, John, that as Hamas is a proxy of Iran, Iran is a proxy of China in many respects.
Charles, I don't want to speculate, but I do puzzle. We've long discussed how the war in Europe, the Ukrainian front, influences decision-making in Beijing. And we've looked at that as a model for if this happens, then that happens, and Beijing will learn. And the reinforcement of Ukraine is critical to make Beijing understand we will reinforce Taiwan. Is there a similar logic to the war in the Middle East? Is Beijing learning from this with its ambitions for Taiwan?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, the way it's being depicted in the Chinese media puts the stress on, you know, things such as Israel stopping hospitals in the Gaza Strip from having adequate medical supplies to address the injured. And most of the video is about the consequences in Gaza, de-emphasizing the consequences, you know, the much more horrendous consequences in Israel. So I think that this kind of thing does set the stage for a Chinese annexation of Taiwan through military force in the hope that China can depict any conflict between China and Taiwan as due to American provocation and support for Taiwan, and therefore that, you know, the Chinese having to go in is inevitable due to the American-backed creating of a situation where China has no choice but to do what it's done. And I think that's the way it's being depicted in China with regard to this Hamas terrorist activity in Israel, that the Hamas forces are simply responding to aggression by Israel of an ill-defined sort that makes the Hamas look like they're on the moral side of angels. And I imagine that China, when they do go into Taiwan, will try and establish the same kind of discourse.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, Hamas has been committing not only acts of terrorism, there's also acts of brutality. Has China media dealt with that issue of all of brutality, of rape, all of that?
Certainly that, you know, the Chinese spin on it doesn't neglect the fact that Hamas is in Israel. There has not been a lot of anything but rather dispassionate and side reporting of the taking of hostages. Certainly, there's been no discussion of Hamas atrocities in Israel. It's seen as a strategic military action, but not as an act of terrorism. And, you know, as I say, they don't use the word terrorist or invasion. They simply refer to a new round of large-scale conflict between Palestine and Israel, as if this is simply a normal military action. And in some ways, I guess China approves of the relative success of Hamas in this particular operation.
Charles, there's reporting that the CBC is going through a question of censorship about how to report this story. Is that accurate?
There has been an email that the leadership of the Canadian Broadcasting Service, the Canadian government official news outlet, with regard to how to characterize this incident, which, you know, calls for not using the word terrorist, but using the word militant. And I think urging what one might, you know, put from a leftist perspective, balanced reporting on this matter. So, you know, there's no question that the official broadcaster of the Canadian government is sympathetic to a much more leftist perspective than the Canadian mainstream. And the attempt to color the reporting before the news has even emerged suggests that there is some kind of agenda behind the way that the Canadian Broadcasting Service proposes to present this to the Canadian people who look at that. The, you know, the Conservative Party has long called for the defunding of the Canadian state broadcaster for this kind of reason.
Charles Burton of the Macdonald-Laurier Institute in Ottawa, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.